This is John Pappas. I want to welcome you to our study in Messianic Christology, the Second Coming of Christ.
Father God, be with us as we look into your word and just feast upon your word today. So Lord, guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So last time we saw this last rebellion of world history. Satan is released from prison after 1,000 years, and he incites the nations to come up against God's holy people and his city, and he pours out fire from heaven to burn them up. Then the devil is thrown into the lake of fire to be tormented forever. And so I want to talk today about eternity as we come to this particular subject. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented. Look at that. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Here we have the doctrine of eternity. This particular group is going to be tormented forever. And so there's great confusion today concerning this eternal death. Annihilationism, or this doctrine that God destroys both soul and body in hell. Annihilationism says that it just really means, when it says destroy, that really means to make to nothing. But where is everlasting punishment in annihilationism? So annihilationism is popular. It's growing. It's really popular amongst the non-Orthodox crowd, the JWs, and some within the Seventh-day Adventists. But it has been endorsed by men like John Stott, who is very popular. John Stott is a very popular evangelist. So annihilationism, as it affects evangelical crowds, is growing. And it's kind of a failure of Christianity not to point out John Stott. He's no longer with us. I think he died last year or so. But he's really a very popular evangelical. And Christianity should have called him out a little bit more forceful, but he was such a nice guy. I guess that didn't go anywhere.
Who's that?
John Stott.
Oh, I'm
very popular. Okay, he was the prominent promoter of annihilationism today.
Oh, right.
Within the evangelical crowd, you know, the crazies, the JWs, and those other. We don't actually listen to them, but a survey of evangelical colleges reveals that this idea is growing. The idea is, how can a deity be so cruel and vindictive as to inflict everlasting torture upon his creatures? Well, that's man's philosophy, not the Bible. And we don't get our doctrine from emotions. We get our doctrine from the Word of God. What does God say? That's clearly what we need to go. The other end of this eternal destiny question is a very popular idea of everybody's going to go to heaven. And that view is being promoted by the emergent church movement. The most notable would be Rob Bell. Rob Bell is promoting this. Everybody's going to go to heaven. And so we're not going to talk too much about that, because that's not that popular within evangelical centers. So, but look at Matthew 25:46. So remember, here's the idea. Satan was crushed. He was thrown in his lake of fire, tormented day and night forever. Look at Matthew 25:46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment. See, the idea is everlasting punishment, but the righteousness to everlasting life. See, there's a contrast given here. And the same word is used for everlasting, eternal. It's the same word. for both the punishment and for eternal life. So if you don't believe there's eternal punishment, then you don't believe there's eternal life. See how that works? You can't have one without the other. And that's what Jesus was giving us a contrast here. Clearly, it speaks of this everlasting punishment contrasted with everlasting life. So both groups have their destinies. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. This is our topic for today. The Great White Throne Judgment. The final judgment of the lost. Look at verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face and earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades, look at that, death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Wow. Then death and Hades, look at that, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This great white throne judgment is, again, is for the lost, not for the saved. The saved have the bema seat judgment. We'll talk about that next time, those who are in Christ get their stephanos, their crowns. They get their rewards. They're judged according to the works they do with rewards. But the lost, here's the description of this second death, if you will. Of the lost, and here we find no one can flee the judgment. Look at that. No one can flee the judgment. The unsaved are judged already, but yet God opens these books. God opens these books. And the second book is this book of life. And each one is measured. Each one is measured. It's proper justice, if you will, with God. God always brings a proper justice. Equal balances. Look at the word, verse 13, the word Hades. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his work. So this word Hades there, I've given you as your note underneath. Hades is hell. A lot of times it's translated hell. In biblical Greek, it is associated with Orichus. This the infernal regions, the dark and dismal place in the very depths of the earth. So that he calls this the common reciprocal for of the disembodied spirits. So this Hades here is the place of the unsaved spirits, and that's where they're held, right? Physical death is separation of the body from the soul. That's physical death. And eternal death is separation of the soul from God, or the spirit from God, forever. So here we have the saved, when they die, where do they go? They go to be with the Lord, right? Their soul goes to be with the Lord. The body goes to the grave and it deteriorates. The unsaved, where do they go? They go to the grave, the body deteriorates, and their soul goes here, to Hades. Or in the Hebrew, it's Sheol. That's the place where the human soul is of the unsaved. Look at verse 14. Death is final. Look at that. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Look at that. Hades, the abode of the dead. And the final enemy of mankind, death. Wow, look at that. Both thrown into the lake of fire. That's incredible. That's incredible. Move back up to verse 12 of Revelation 20. Then I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. What books? Well, we don't know. The text doesn't say. Okay, but... As you see down here, the next note, books, There are five books that Dr. Williamton says there are five books. I don't know how many books they are, what they are, but because it doesn't identify. But he identifies five, and I thought they were pretty good. So let's take a look at these five that he identifies. First is the book of the conscience, and that comes from Romans 2, verse 15. And it says, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, look at that, their conscience also bearing witness and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. So here is one book that that may be there. I don't know what books are there, but certainly our conscience is measured. And then look at the second book he identifies, Matthew 12, 36 and 37. But I say to you that for every idle word man may speak, they will give account in the day of judgment. Look at that, idle words, vain words, empty of God. By the way, how are your works measured for the righteous, you know, on the Bema Seat judgment? We'll look at that next time. Your works, you can do good works, but they're empty. Why are they empty? Because they're not done in the name of Christ, for the glory of God. If you do it, it's my glory. No, it's God's glory. All your good works, even though you can do, a pagan can do good works, excellent works, but they count as nothing because they don't give the one who is good the glory. Look at verse 37. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Mm-hmm. So, another measure of what's happening there. Of course, they reject our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the reason they go to hell. But these five books relate the idea of a conscience, relate your words, your actions. Look at the book of secrets, Romans 2:16. In that day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, according to my gospel. Wow. Look at that, the secrets. You got any secrets? Well, if you're saved, you don't have any problem. You're going to go to heaven, but you still have your secrets. And wow, that's convicting even for the saved. Look at the fourth book, the book of public works, 2 Corinthians 11:15. Therefore, if no one, it is no great thing if this his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So works measured. You can have a pagan doing good works, good things, but it means nothing. The book of life is this last one. We already talked about the book of life. Let me just say this about the book of life. There are a couple of ideas about this book of life. One is that everybody's name is written in a book of life, in this book of life. And it's, if you're not in the book of life, you're blotted out. There's some scriptural support for that. There's two basic camps. That's one camp. It says everybody's name is written in the book of life, and then your name is blotted out. Revelation 3, 5 talks about your name being blotted out from the book of life. Another camp says, no, only the saved are ever in the book of life. And so he's bringing up the books, and no, you're not, your name's not found here. So however you want to take that, it's fine. There's good men on both sides. But just wanted to point out, there is this book of life, and there is the idea that your all names could be there, and they're blotted out. There's scriptural evidence for that. Could happen. Or the other camp says, no, it's just, they're not going to be there at all. But then what do you do with the blotting out of the name? It could be, you could, I don't know. You could do something with that. But those
are
the two major things.
Is the same as the Lamb's Book of Life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's basically
typically
the same thing.
Yes. Okay. That you find in the Old Testament. Yeah. Yeah. And that what you were referring to is elsewhere in Revelation.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe once you reach that age of accountability and you don't respond to God calling you, maybe at that point.
It's
blotted
out.
What if you could be blotted out, but then you could be added back in? I don't know.
Yeah, see, it gets messy. Yeah. So that's why one camp says, no, it's the book of life. Predestination demands right. It's the book of life.
Right.
And your name is either there or it's not there. And yeah. But there is some scriptural evidence. If you held the other, well, it's going to be who gets blotted out then.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
gotcha.
Tough. That's tough.
It's one of those mysteries.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm content to just accept it as a mystery.
Yeah. You accept it, so you're okay. Okay, so let's move on and look at looking at the eternal destiny of, and this everlasting judgment of the lost, and some of the descriptions of this lake of fire, which is called the second death there in verse 13 of Revelation 20. So we have, first off, Jesus is the judge. Look at item A down there. Sorry, it's all so close together. It just, I didn't have a whole lot of room. I wanted to give you a summary of, on the back, physical death and just kind of a quick chart. I'm not going to go through all those, but it's a kind of a summary of death in a kind of a topical way. But back to who is the judge? Well, we know the judge here, who is Jesus Christ, because he was given all authority in John chapter 5, verses 26 and 27. But I gave you this verse here, 2 Timothy 4, 1. Jesus as the judge. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Look at that. He's the one who does the judging. He's on his throne. He judges. There are two areas here. Look at that. As his appearing, he judges those who are alive as they're living. But then the dead, all dead are judged. That's why I wanted to give you that little thing, because these are at his appearing and his kingdom. It kind of reflects both of those judgments for the unsaved. Look at the destruction. B, unsaved dead. Where do they go? A lot of descriptions here. Destruction. Matthew 10:28. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's Gehenna. That's a different word for hell. Look at that. And I gave you the note on Gehenna. This is interesting. So Gehenna is this equivalent to the lake of fire, eternal hell. Hell is, this note says, Gehenna in the Greek means hell is the place of future punishment called Gehenna or Gehenna of fire. This was originally the valley of Hainom, south of Jerusalem, where the filth and the dead animals of the city were cast out and burned, a fit symbol for the wicked in those future destruction. So this is the pit outside the city where you take dump, if you will. Now,
and it's a fire that's continually going.
It's
right?
Just continually yeah. going. Like the, we didn't look at the brimstone, mm-hmm. but yeah, that nasty smell of the brimstone, which is worse than this. Dump outside of Jerusalem, but mm-hmm. but look at this. Look at this. This word Hainom, the evil kings in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 31, mm. Jeremiah tells these evil kings, prophesies against the evil kings who sacrificed their children in the fire. The pagan sacrifices that they did back in evil kings of Israel. And so the idea there was putting these babies into the fire, and it comes here as a terrible picture that we have here of these folks' souls going into this lake of fire. Gehenna just burns all the time. Eternal torment, eternal burning. Oh, what a terrible picture. But another description of this is called darkness. It's described as darkness. And Matthew 8, 11 through 12, and I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into their outer darkness. where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Look at that. You go to this place, and there's going to be weeping and gnashing. It's torment. It's torment. It really is torment. Look at item 3. The absence of God's presence and goodness. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. There shall be punishment with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Death means separation from God. Death means separation from God. This is the primary idea of death. Why? Because God is good. It rains on the evil and the good right now in the earth. But in absence of God, there won't be the relief of rain. There won't be goodness. All good gifts come from above, as the statement says. Death, absence from the presence of God, which is just absence of his goodness. And the only thing that's left is just torment. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, Matthew 8:28, the Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. Look at that. All things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Look at that. Wow. Gather out of his kingdom. Wow. Removed from the kingdom. And of course, the last one, the second death, we've already looked at that. We're just have a couple minutes. I just want to talk, kind of give you a taste of the Bema Seat judgment next time. We're going to look at those, the eternal destiny of the saved. So this judgment of the saved in 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what we call the Bema Seat, because that is in the Greek, Bema. That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So all of our works done for Christ will be measured up. And those that are not done proper are burnt up.
That's the Haywood stubble.
That's the
right. That talks about in 2 Corinthians.
So that's what we'll look at next. I just want to see if you have any questions, comments, observations. Eternal destiny is a big, important doctrine. If you don't believe in hell, I think that's an essential. And of course, there are arguments within the big camp, but it's just dangerous to say, no, you'll just be annihilated. No, what do you do with eternal punishment? What do you do with that?
I have a question.
Yeah.
I was wondering about the unbelievers being judged according to their works, but still thrown into the lake of fire. Does that mean that there's levels of the lake of fire? Why are they judged according to their works?
Yes, I did not have time to talk about levels of punishment, but there are degrees of punishment. And maybe I'll bring a couple of verses next time to start out with about the levels of punishment, because some people will be punished more than others.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe.
Is your torment going to be?
How do you quantify levels of torment? You know?
Right. But the scriptures kind of point out that there's you can do a sin that is greater, and you do, and according to God's justice, you get worse torment. and like you say, it's confounding to us. We don't understand it, but it's there.
Yeah, it's interesting where I think it's in Revelation there where it says that they try to run from God's presence at the great white
and hide.
Yeah, so you wonder, would an unbeliever even want to come into heaven, really? I mean, the glory and the light, and it's incompatible, you know, with who they are.
With their mindset,
right.
Everything that they're about.
But at the same time, I think they'll see, and I just wondered about this, they'll see what God had planned for them, and his love and goodness, and this is what I had for you. A glimpse of their life and eternity, and I wonder if, weeping and gnashing of teeth is like, oh my gosh, look what I missed, for my rebellion and my foolishness. And I think that's going to be a lot of the torment, just to see heaven and to see, you know, what God had planned. And then, but at the same time, like, you know, people who don't even want to come to church or don't even want to be around Christians, and that's how I used to be before I was saved. I mean, I would avoid Christians. It was the light that just, you know, shining from them, and yeah, much less go to church, you know, and feeling that conviction. And I can imagine the full glory of God and His holiness. Like, wow, yeah. So,
well, we better close with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you again for your word. And what a terrible picture this is for the lost. And so we just lift this word up to you and pray you would work on it in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.